It's Saturday night at GridLife Midwest. Hi, Adam.
Don't be ridiculous.
What's up, babe?
Adam's playing with the soundboard.
Yeah,
it's been years since we saw the soundboard
what,
in action.
Ooh, a swear word there. Sorry, we're getting spicy. How's your day been, Abe?
It's been busy, man. Yeah, we've had like back to back action. I'm just to and from the tower to the production booth, back and forth.
Which one am I looking for? The Turbo Time one?
It's Turbo Time.
Hang on, what's Giles want? Let's talk to him on the podcast.
It's probably not a good idea to talk to Giles on the podcast. We're here with Chris, grid worker Chris F. I will probably say your last name wrong. I think it's Francione.
It is Francione.
Francione.
It is Francione.
Okay. You do a podcast, and we're, I think, on your podcast right now.
We are doing kind of a dual episode. I host an episode or a show called the Drivers at Large podcast. Our motto is, whole thing is interesting drivers, interesting cars, interesting stories. And
sorry, there's a phone call there. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Thank you for interrupting while you were saying I didn't mean to interrupt.
I actually did mean to interrupt. It's my podcast. I love Chris.
Actually, Adam, we're sharing podcasts
Chris and his
today.
little minivan. Yeah, so we're going to put this out as both of our bikes. He just started a podcast.
Is it going to be on TrackTuned?
I don't know. Do you want to be on TrackTuned? Sure.
I don't
put
care.
Out some podcasts.
Dude, if you guys think I'm interesting enough to put me on TrackTuned, be my guest.
You better do it. Pretty mediocre job, Chris.
Well, you'll probably have more episodes than Time with Attackers.
Yeah.
Those guys, I swear.
The freaking Turbo Time Arnold Schwarzenegger soundbite is not on here.
Dang it.
I can't find it. So anyway.
Man.
Yeah, what's with Time with Attackers? They're not doing shows.
You know, they did 6 episodes like 3 years ago, and then they did 4 or 5 more year.
Yeah, it was like a couple years ago, and then this year, and I don't know. They
I don't know
cars.
What they're going to talk about. They really haven't been attacking much time.
No, James Houghton has been attacking time with his race car, his wheel-to-wheel race car.
He's missing out to Midwest Festival this weekend.
I did miss that car. I would have loved to have the data of that car against all of our other GLTC cars, because it's built like 100% differently. Street tires, low drag, you know, high horsepower versus aero Hoosiers or Hunter Treadwears or whatever.
Well, we saw Scott Robertson running on street tires in, I think it was race 3.
He was on Nanking Air Ones, and I think he has the Continentals as well.
Okay. He climbed a lot. Just by being on the right tire.
So did Levi Brown in race 4.
Yeah.
And I don't remember which street tires he was on, but he was not on Hoosiers. And he went from like back of the pack to P7.
So he was the recipient of some nasty contact in race 3. I was sad to see.
Yeah, got stuck behind somebody in the start. I was right behind him. It's the only race I ran. Chris, did you get a chance to watch a lot of the racing this weekend?
Yeah. So from pit lane, specifically race 3,
yeah.
Me and Carson were sitting up the left of Joe by Gingerman Raceway's stand.
The contact happened right in front of
right me. Before the contact, we had all the cars go by. We all got pelted in the face with gravel, and then we saw the accident. And for a split second, I almost had a Code Brown moment because I just saw Sammy McNulty basically the other way around, and I'm seeing her front end and everyone else going towards her.
Yeah, Sally was backwards and literally in the worst possible place.
Yeah.
And then
going into turn one at the start of the race,
I don't
everybody's diving in.
Like I watched my video of it, and I don't know what happened, but I think she got turned. Christoph said she was in the grass of two wheels to avoid, hit the brakes, and that's what spun her. But I'm not sure. Maybe she got assisted by somebody else in the
plausible.
Turning. But
hey, it's Joel.
I started from the back. Hey, Joel, what's up?
What's up,
dude? What's going on, buddy?
What's that?
Joel wants dog box transmissions and street mods. You want to allow it?
Good grief. I don't know.
You should just put a DCT in.
As Alex shakes his head while he puts in a BMW DCT.
Street mod's out of control. So street mod this year, 12 months ago, fast time was 134.0.
Right.
Or excuse me, 134.4.
34.4.
This year,
I remember being so blown away a year ago by that.
This year, 3 seconds almost exactly faster.
Unbelievable.
Progression.
Yeah, 31.
Joel's still going the same speed.
Oh, I dropped 2 seconds.
Did you really?
Joel didn't blow up.
I'm just trying to throw a little shade here.
Yeah, not blowing up is that's a huge plus, too.
That's great.
PBs, man. I think personal bests is really like the best goal.
Yeah.
I set my personal best this weekend in my car.
Did you break anything? Fantastic. Yeah.
GLTC, Time Attack Retirement Home. That's what we call it.
It's a fun retirement home, though.
Yeah, it's not
bad. It's
where
no one takes their meds.
It's not bad. it's probably it is the crazy place. What is your view, Chris, from the sidelines of how this year has gone and progressed in all this stuff?
I'm absolutely amazed working this series for 2 years. No one has swung a fist at each other.
No.
Compared to at Autobahn and most of the other organizations that come by and how competitive they are and they complain,
right.
This series, and there's a reason I'm also recording this video, which you'll probably find on my YouTube channel. I tried to explain to people and give it publicity on how ridiculously awesome all the drivers are.
So I had like the most heated discussion I had this weekend was Abe was right there. Was with Ryan Upham in GLTC, and it was completely unheated. Completely unheated. Like,
yep.
Super logical. And it was just about a pass under yellow
mm-hmm.
problem, you know? And part of the problem was because we had one unmanned worker station this weekend because somebody literally had to leave at 5 o'clock.
Which I'm sad you guys didn't tell me about this because I would have literally got a front row seat.
So I'm thinking, like, who do I know that had... Like, is there anybody here with worker experience? And I'm like... There is, and I can't think of who it is, and it was you. Like,
yeah, the guy that was literally right next to you right. The whole time because you had the actual track radio, and I'm trying to listen to all the calls.
Yeah, so
yeah, it's
not bad. I'm not good at remembering things, but
no, our series is certainly more competitive than I ever expected, and at the same time, almost everybody's willing to lend a hand to make sure things get done right.
Time Attack and GLTC, like
absolutely.
Street GT this weekend was ridiculous too.
We're missing Kobe Shield though.
39s across the entire board in Street GT.
Was Kobe not here this weekend?
Yeah, he's basically on a victory lap. He won the TT Nats at NCM last weekend and was like, I don't want to go 2 weekends.
Did
in
he
a row.
Win overall?
He did. He is.
He won overall.
No, oh, no. At class, TT though. Nats, no, he won his class.
So now he thinks he's a national champion.
Yeah, but but he also won a Grid Life Championship, which arguably is
it's a little bit more of a national championship too.
Yeah, and actually, he was at the time he was the only driver to have a perfect score in the season championship. But Josh Halka took it away today, so
did he, really?
He had another perfect 400, and we've got. Alex Moss sitting here, not on the microphone yet.
Alex, do you want to scoot in and be on my microphone?
Okay.
Dude.
But yeah. Moss had 399.
It's really close.
Which is pretty good.
Interpreted the rules the wrong way.
Why didn't I go get one of my other microphones?
I don't know.
I'm really bad at things.
You should be better at things.
You could be completely in the view right now.
So... If you want to hand off back and forth, I'll try and ask a couple questions.
How about I hand off? Because people are texting me like crazy.
But I don't talk to you.
Why? I bring nothing to the table.
Because you're the
but
dude.
But I have the Arnold soundboard.
You're the dude.
Yeah. So as a street mod competitor, seeing how the season championship was as close as it was, do you think that caliber of competition can be replicated next year?
I hope so. It was fun. I don't know if it can. It was a bit... I don't know. I hope it can.
We had crazy battles in Unlimited. Remember when it was like back and forth and back and forth? And then like it's like the rest of the classes started to blend into these crazy battles.
Yep.
And we've had the crazy battle in Street Class. We've had the crazy battle in Street Mod.
We've had the crazy battle in Track Mod.
We just had a crazy weekend battle in Street GT. 39-1 to 39-5. Like real close. Track mod's insane right now.
Like, well, and last year track mod was faster. Like, as a group collective, there were consistently high performers at almost every event.
I almost don't know what is going to happen. Like, it's hard to predict.
I think the whole thing's going to fall apart.
That's kind of what I think every year.
We're all just going to get sick of it and go to GLTC.
Yeah, I think
everybody's sick of it. It's going to fail, and we'll all just do HPD again.
So as more of an inexperienced Time Attack spectator, and I've gotten really into it over the last couple Grid Life events. I'm more really into GLTC. Is there a limit for like stuff like Street Class and where you guys are in these kind of lower end classes for Time Attack?
Maybe this is a fun question for Alex Moss because he has some ideas as he takes a sip of his beer. So,
hold my beer.
Yeah.
Alex, I thought you were more of a whiskey man, too.
I am, but I don't like to mix the whiskey side.
I'm just drinking what people put in my pocket at the awards.
Natty Lights, so. Nice. I think that what we've seen, what we've done in Street Mod this year is really try, right? And I think there's an opportunity in Street Class still for somebody to be silly in that class and do the dumb stuff that we've tried to do in Street Mod. And I think that it's a weight game, so you got to look at trying to find a light car that can fit the biggest tires allowed and make a ton of power.
Yep.
And have good factory aero.
And let me guess. I think there's some opportunities. You got a plan.
I don't know if I have a plan, but I have an idea. I think there's an opportunity for the new Civic Type R to come in and do really well. It's 3,000 pounds stock, less than 3,100, more than 3,000 stock. Within boost limits, I think you could get it a little over 400 wheel horse. And I think you can fit at least the 265 A52s on it. And I bet if you tried, you could probably shave 200 pounds out
of it. Might go real fast.
And well, I think it would be probably exciting. Be more reliable than a DCT swap, K swap, turbo S2000.
When's the DCT swap going to happen with your car?
It's in progress. It's taken longer than we wanted it to, but we're trying to do it right. Yeah. As I kind of said on the broadcast, it could have been done by Road America.
Oh, you were on the broadcast today?
Yeah.
Ooh, fancy. I haven't seen the broadcast at all. I'm going to go lay in bed and watch.
He's the FCP Euro Street Modified Champion. So he had to.
I like how that sounds.
I bet you do.
Yeah, we could have done it for, probably could have got it running for Road America, but Andy didn't want to send me out at Road America with an untested thing, and it was the smart move to not do
that. You ran out of gear at Road America. Like, you literally were out of RPM, right?
Yeah, we were basically at 8,000 RPM in sixth gear at Road America.
And that's like
150-ish? 150, yeah. I think it's 150. We hit 149.8.
Okay. What do you think you would have gotten mile an hour if you had the DCT with a little bit higher speed range?
So the DCT, basically we're at the max power limit or max torque limit that we can be at for our drivetrain right now. So this would allow us to get more horsepower.
Okay.
Right? The big thing about the DCT is that we can... other than the obvious, we can now like go beyond that 500 wheel horsepower or 250 wheel horsepower range that we were talking about. So that's the plan. The DCT kind of opens the door for us to get more in line with other people's power. What speeds we will end up seeing, I don't know. But hopefully we'll be in line with the other cars and not lose our cornering speed and braking and all that stuff that we have an advantage on. But we're 2 seconds off the pace now at Gingerman, and that's kind of crazy.
That's so insane. The development pace in Street Modified has been just out of control.
You think the faster shifting of the DCT trans, too, you think that's going to contribute in an appreciable way to pace? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Yes. So
I know some people are like, oh, milliseconds. It shifts in milliseconds. But, like, yeah, that's faster.
It's going to be better gearing. For us, we'll use more gears.
Right,
it will shift faster, so that seamless power. We will not lose boost when we go between gears.
I think that. I mean, you obviously
braking zones is going to be hugely beneficial.
I would imagine really
because
focused.
No matter what you can do. I mean, I've got to the point where I can heel toe pretty well and all that, but you look at brake pressure traces. You are always lifting off the brakes a little bit when you. Heel toe.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about that now. In fact, I can be able to left foot brake everywhere.
Yeah, you could straight up focus.
Which is what I did in the TT today, and it was pretty easy.
I think a turbo car like that is going to, especially a semi, you don't have a huge turbo, but it's a well-sized turbo for your power potential.
Yes.
But I think that is going to be the biggest thing, is that thing is just going to spool the entire straightaway.
Yep.
You don't lose any forward momentum with the clutch down.
Right.
Obviously, you can probably shift pretty fast, but that might be a
second. I think another detail that's significant here is how many gear changes are you doing at the track here at Gingerman on a lap?
Gingerman's 8 upshifts, 8 downshifts for me.
So 16 gear shifts. which is a lot.
Right.
How many will you expect to do with the different trains?
Probably the same, but they're free. Much faster. They're essentially free. And each gear shift costs some time. It's not the amount of time. It's not like how long did you have the clutch down, because you're not stopped for that time. So you can't just add up that time. But
yeah, I've heard people say that, like, oh, but every shift takes an average of this, and so I'm going to get 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's not going to be that.
Yeah, you didn't, like, stop for three seconds. Like, you're still rolling at 82 miles an hour.
Yep, but, I mean, it's going to add up. And the other thing is, you can focus on the driving the car, you know? It's one less thing to focus on. The TT, I just put it in auto mode today. And drove it in auto.
So I went out in the TT, and I have a giant man crush on that car. But I also rode with Andrew Mishra in his GT4. And that car is a manual trans, but has the auto blip, which I thought was a really cool feature. And it blended a lot of the things that you would want out of a DCT. Not everything, right. But he was allowed to focus more on his braking and let the car handle that blip shift so that the gear changes were smooth. It was very cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've never been in that car, and I don't want to be in it.
It's very nice.
I want to drive
because you want one?
I don't want to drive my turd, junk, crappy car the entire rest of my life so that I have no desires to drive anything better. I want to stay away from all you fancy boys.
So now that you can kind of celebrate a win, are you going home tomorrow and getting back to work for 2021?
I'm kind of at the mercy of what Andy wants to do. I mean, the whole point of us working together is to help promote Andy's business, AS Motorsports, and what they can do, and we've been quite successful at that. So Andy has now the problem of clearing his schedule from actual real work to do the fun projects, I think. So that's, yeah. I mean, that's a good thing.
Well, the one benefit of working with Andy is that he's a workaholic. So if he needs to do the regular work and do this, he'll probably do both.
Unfortunately, yeah, the guy needs a vacation.
Yeah, he'll figure. He's like, his fun stuff is going to the racetrack, but then he just works even harder. He does get to drive a little bit.
I think he said on one of the shows I recorded with him some years ago that the reason he started ASM was really just as a means to fund the racing habit. And as his Time Attack program increased in development costs, he had to work more and more. And it got to the point where it was then just the full-time job.
Yeah, I mean, he had another job. He was in IT before. And I think the time he was spending, like most of us, not that we're not passionate about the things that we do and what have you, but given the choice of what we're going to do on the weekend, it's not going to be going and doing what we do Monday through Friday. He's managed to put himself in the position through hard work and all those things. This isn't something that was handed to him, but he's put himself in the position where he can do the things he enjoys doing more or less Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday and every night and every weekend. And yeah.
So I think you put himself in the position where he's able to easily average the 4 hour sleep regimen. Everyone gets here at Grid Life and totally work on the car the next morning. Like it's nothing.
Right. Yep.
I find a lot of the guys here that are doing motorsports, or their own shops, at least. I find it fascinating on how much dedication people are putting into it, especially when they have
their own
shop.
Speak
of the devil. What does ASM specialize in?
Well, he's right here. Andy?
What
does ASM specialize in?
Keeping Alex on track.
Perfect. And is that a full-time job?
Yeah, it's more than a full-time job. What else?
So what does ASM really specialize in?
Track support. And
and
going super. I feel like I'm on the spot here. I don't know. ASM does track support.
Can you properly introduce yourself as well?
Sorry. I'm Andy from ASM.
Yeah. Andy from ASM. Yes.
So Alex was keen to make fun of us on the live feed. We have, for a long time, even though we know better, have called Andy Smedgaard for years. Why? There's another E in his name. You know that, right?
What? There's another E?
Yes.
Smedegaard?
Smedegaard.
I say that.
No, you don't.
I say Smedegaard all the time.
Smedgaard.
I say Smedegaard. I just don't talk on the live stream very much anymore because I have to make the event happen.
And you're busy being track lord.
Well, this event actually needed a lot of guidance. So,
well, there were three substantial mechanical failures this weekend. All of them.
There were more than three, man.
Five giant fires.
There's five.
Man.
Five, like, roll the trucks real fast type fires. Real gnarly. Real gnarly day. So,
man.
Yeah, pretty well, a real gnarly 3 days. But yeah, it was pretty wild.
We've really gone off the rails here.
I know. I'm very tired right now. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. We should.
So Andy skeet, and Pete boys. Took the track mod car.
I said the skeet skeet boys. Yeah, the skeet 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 boys.
Andy and Pete took the track mod car. And that car looking pretty good without some wings and things on it. It looks like a drifty like boy, man. Tight, dude.
I like the car in drift with the big wing on because it looks so unique, but it sounds fantastic.
I think the true term is it looks hella clean, bro. I think the guys over in the camping section of Grid Life Midwest would agree with us.
I think you guys both drove in drift, right? Yeah. Somebody stick a mic in their face. Come on, Abe. Let's go. We're bad at this.
No, Pete did most of the drifting.
Yeah,
today.
Pete drove a bunch.
I did, I think maybe what, two or three runs.
Did three or four.
Did you guys? Yeah. You guys flip during one session?
Yeah,
that's
what
I thought. Yeah,
a couple times.
Yeah,
got to talk into the microphone, Pete.
Pete hates being on the show. We've tried this before.
He's been on the show once. He did
I might
good.
Do it right this time.
Oh man, so what's the most fun thing on track for you? Because you were like, time attack's okay. Can I do HPD and drift also? Because I like doing those more.
Well, the last time we ran MS7 was Autobahn, and then Andy took it out in an attempt to drift and
right blew the diff or whatever.
And, oh, that too.
Oh, did it hurt the motor too?
Anyway, so we're
I remember
like,
talking about that. Yeah.
So we're like, whatever. So.
For reference for listeners, this is an E46 M3 with an LS7. Was it a dry sump?
Yes.
And what a
sequential.
Samsonas sequential or something.
And. Air jacks.
Oh, and air jacks that sink into the pavement in June. And it also has Wild Aero that like TFWorks and you and a bunch of other people made, right?
Correct.
It's a really crazy track mod car. Is that a full cage car?
Yes.
That's what I thought, yeah.
So at any rate, Autobahn, it went down. I wasn't too concerned about getting another motor back in there. And I happened to have a white E46 M3 that was set up for drift. So if I can't get on road course grip... And I have a drift car. What would you do? Drift.
Pull the handbrake in.
Yes, all the time. So between then and now, I think Andy and I have done probably a dozen drift events, whether it be speedways, kart tracks, or road courses.
Our tire budget has went through the roof. my tire disposal fees have went way up.
If any tire manufacturers want to sponsor these two drift nuts, please contact
Raikkonen
them.
Raikkonen Raptors, I think, work pretty well.
Raikkonen Raptors.
Raikkonen Raptors. Mucho Machos.
So basically, the dumber the name sounds, that's kind of more in line with what we're after.
Are you guys? Have you guys ever tried the Cheng Shin? Because I've seen a few of those.
Cheng Shin? Wow, I'm going to look
it
up.
Like, it's a giant tire manufacturer. I saw a couple on drift cars. But Mucho Machos, is that a real thing?
Yeah, no, it is.
No way.
It is. Cosmos Mucho
tire?
Machos. Yes, Mucho
Cosmos
Machos.
Cosmos Mucho Machos.
Yep.
That's kind of a badass name for a tire.
They work pretty well.
The Mucho Machos. What kind of tires you guys running? Falcon RT660s. What about you, Mucho Machos? I mean, it presents well if you talk
so
about
Andy,
it.
So, Andy, you've got a ton of experience with ice racing and now more recently in drift. How do those two... traction conditions compare?
Very similar. So the ice racing, especially with studs, has a very drift style type of driving. So I kind of found it a little more natural to jump into drift and to do the drifting part, but there's still a lot of things I'm learning with drift, like the line and transitions. And it turns out there's a lot more to it than one thinks.
Doing ice racing in a studded car, I drove the Miata that... Was it Eric
Krusty,
and Megan?
Krusty,
yeah.
Yeah.
On studs.
Rest in peace.
Dude, it's it makes you feel like Chris Forsberg.
Yeah.
Like, it's the greatest thing, man.
Yeah, lots of grip, and it definitely...
But it transitions so well. Like,
yeah.
How is that compared, like, the actual, like, transition of the car and stuff like that versus...
Well, at least the studs I drive on my S2 had way more grip than drifting does. So, I don't know. It's the same style of driving, but the studs is a little more controllable because you have more grip. So, in drifting... As much as it doesn't seem like it, you still need grip because you're still, I don't know, you're doing the same thing. You're basically driving, like, grip driving, but just sideways.
Like, literally, the forward grip is what keeps you from spinning out and from crashing. Like, you need the forward momentum grip of that, or the forward pull grip of that tire. Like,
yeah.
The car's got to be set up right for that.
Right. It is. It's drifting's a lot more to it than one thinks.
Oh, crazy amount.
I think what I saw today is the thing that I notice about pro drift versus some of the more amateur drift event drivers. Really, like, entry speed into turn one is probably the biggest difference that I see.
And I think, like, literally the carrying speed through the big sweepers, too.
Yeah.
The three Falcon cars or four Falcon cars, we're talking probably, what, a 20-mile-an-hour differential versus, like, club hangout drift guys?
Pete and I are pretty new to the drifting. We don't exactly know what we're doing yet, but we were lucky enough to have Dave from TF who... Does all, he's an avid drifter.
He's literally set up a lot of pro cars,
right,
too.
So he was over coaching and yelling at us, like, no, you can't. It's not all about just tire smoke and whatever. He's yelling at us. And
well, I think at Grid Life, it might be a little bit about tire smoke.
Not really. From a spectator standpoint, that's what they think they want to see. But
example. I got yelled at from Dave. Not yelled at. I got yelled at from Dave, maybe more reprimanded. I went through turn one and turn two. And somehow I was offline, as Dave said, and I was going into disaster mode, but somehow I saved it and made a line, and apparently people were clapping. And Dave was like, what the hell? That was horrible. You were not online. The judges? Well, I don't know, because then I've heard the opposite, where, like, good drifters, like, you want to make it look like you're going to crash, bail, and something bad happen, and then save it at the last second.
You were quite excited the other day. You sent our group chat a picture of a crash that you had on the drift track, and that was a good thing, right?
It was not a crash. It was a wall tap.
The car hit the wall.
No,
and that
tapped.
Was a good thing.
Tapped it.
And Andy, after you won King of the Mountain in Super K, you were doing your victory donuts, and you fully admitted, you were trying to crash Super K into the wall.
Just wall tap it.
Crash it.
No, tap. There's a big difference between a tap and a crash.
In drifting, a tap is completely okay.
Yeah.
A full crash.
Yeah,
dude, tap equals more zip ties, which equals more style points.
So GLTC, bumper taps allowed. Oh, no, they're not cool.
Yeah, Andy, stop touching people in GLTC, by the way.
Who did I touch?
I don't think you touched anybody. But you have.
I have touched people in GLTC.
So this is actually, I don't think we've talked to you about this in the show, but this is your first season of GLTC. You started at Autobahn.
Yes.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, do you like it?
Dude, I'm having a blast.
Yeah, I wish I could drive more. You look like you have more fun than me. But,
yeah, probably.
how has the car held up? You lost a motor at the first.
Yeah, the very first Gingerman, just dumb issues.
The most impressive thing about that was, I think, by like 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night the next day.
No, the same
day. You got home at 9 or something.
Yeah, I left that. I think it was Sunday. I left Sunday. I don't know what time, but I just wanted to get a new engine in that car and get it running
again. And you
drove
the car home by like midnight or something.
Yeah.
It's out of control. It's a K-Swap, K24 Swap S2000.
Yeah. I've done a lot of K-Swaps, so it was pretty easy to get a new engine in the car. But no, since then, it's been really good. The car's been great. I don't think we've had any issues. I don't think. No, I don't think so. It's been just turning laps.
So, out of curiosity, is this your first wheel-to-wheel racing experience in your career of cars?
I used to do some chump car endurance racing stuff, which honestly, I don't think that's even close to like GLTC. Like, GLTC sprint race stuff is intense. Endurance race is like, it's like a lapping day with some, you know, I don't know, with kind of open passing, but everyone kind of, I don't know.
For your first season, how are you liking it so far? I know what the answer is probably going to be, yeah. But like if you can put it in some form of perspective, because every time I'm sitting in pit lane and I see new drivers that come in from these new events,
yep.
I always like to ask this question.
Yeah. So I've been asked a lot about what do I like more, GLTC or Time Attack and whatever. And honestly, I like both just as much. It's just the cost factor.
Yeah, you have literally unlimited Time Attack Evo. Yes.
And even in like the street mod class level, I mean, it's the same thing. Those cars are so strung out that you're only getting a few laps.
Right. Two, three, maybe. Yeah.
So you did everything except DE this weekend.
Pretty much. Well, I mean, the GLTC practice was kind of like DE.
You are never going to be allowed in beginner, ever. Why? You'll never go back to beginner. So you don't even think about trying to run everything. Ed would kill me.
Yeah. No. I'd do DE, as long as there's open passing.
Well,
I hate point by passing.
Andy is actually a real bully during a DE. He is an absolute bully.
I just can't.
And he's
it.
The nicest person
I
in
can't
real
wait
life
for a point
on
by.
Track, man. He is the worst.
Gotta obey the rules, man. Gotta obey the rules.
Well, that's why I do GLTC race.
Andy's favorite hobby is when we're testing Super K or something and trying to pass it with Trainer. And generally is successful. Like getting Trainer out of a corner at Brainerd or something and pulling up alongside me and like looking at me like, what are you doing? Come on. You got 3 times the horsepower of me. What are you doing?
Or going to a PCA event and playing with Porsches. That's the best.
I remember I was hanging out with you guys at IMS last summer.
Indy Motor Speedway.
Yeah. Indianapolis. Yeah. And we were at a PCA event, and you're out there kind of like crushing on everybody. And you roll in this ratty Trainer.
And it's like, that, hey, right? Hey,
people,
come on.
People come over and they're like, what have you done to that car? And he's like, I don't know, it's a K24. It's like, it's like 200 horsepower. You guys are just like not very good.
Yeah. Dude, I had the best time at an SCCA track night in America here. Like the best time. We were testing data system, making a video with like the new Garmin thing, and me and Tomo. And literally, like, I was in advanced group, right? And there was like ZL1s and like Porsches and all this stuff. And I'm like, I got to get in front of all these guys because, man, I can't get a clean lap. Like, so I went to grid super early and never got passed. And a bunch of people came up and they're like, what's up with this? This thing got 400 horses. I was like, 162. It's the best. It's so fun. I forgot great. How much fun DEs were.
Dude, DEs are fun. When you get with the right cars and you can beat up
fun,
on a bunch
man.
Of Porsche dudes.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Chasing SS's yes. and 1LEs. And
the car you put together for Brandon Renbeck is running in street class, but I think that might be the perfect DE car.
Yeah. No, that car is... It is perfect. I mean, it will do half-hour session. That could probably do full endurance races.
So that's an S54 swapped E36 M3, yep. And it is just great.
It is the same S54 that came out of Pete's E46 that we, double drove for like 2 years at DE's. We would do back-to-back sessions, half-hour sessions with that car. That thing probably had 1,000 track hours on
just
it.
Just beat it down.
Yeah. And it's still going.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. Like, the S54s are very
if you stay
strong
up on maintenance, motors. That is a really yeah. solid engine.
You should yes. buy parts from FCP Euro because those parts are guaranteed for life.
FCP Euro, great
in fact,
partner.
We have. I get emails all the time of these guys buying FCP.
We have a wholesale account.
Oh, we have a wholesale account.
Yeah. FCP's rad. They've actually been a sponsor of Slip Angle also.
Oh.
So,
probably against their better judgment.
I think we basically made a show. I want to do another quick show with Scott and Becky, too.
I think that's a good idea, too.
You want to start over?
Yeah.
ASM, where do you find ASM and all your shenanigans?
Oh, well, hold on. I want to interject 1 second.
Yeah.
So we're going to we're going to go to NOLA Motorsports Park next month, and it is going to be a very drift-heavy event.
Oh, yeah.
You guys going to be there?
I'm pretty sure we put our application in.
I saw
it. We call it the Pete and Andy Show. Where we go to like autocrosses and DEs and time attacks and turn it into drift events.
Yeah, so we have this this new competition. It's the Grid Life's first drift competition.
Double drift.
Basically, it's a instead of two cars going tandem going against each other, it's two cars going tandem or performing a routine of sorts on a kart track. It's like synchronized drifting. Like, hey, put on the best show. Who did the best job? So that's, I think it's gonna be super fun.
But yeah, we're gonna give it a try.
What are you gonna drive? You have a 350Z.
I've got a 350Z that's set up for drift, and then Pete's got a E46 M3 with just an S54.
Yeah, and a handbrake and stuff.
And then
like
we also have MS7, I think, is kind of a half time attack, half drift car.
Right.
And then we also have an S14 that we're doing a Turbo K.
Really? Swapping. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Maybe yeah. It's, wait, I think that's supposed to be a secret.
All those spoolie boys.
Oops.
Boosty boys.
Well, that'll
boys.
Be fun. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. So yeah. Hopefully we get a lot of good entries for that. Any local NOLA drift listeners, go to grid.life and sign up for that. So come beat Andy and Pete.
I don't think it'll be too hard. We're pretty new.
I mean, you might do okay, actually. Like, it might
we're
be.
We're hoping with the fastest one
wins. No, it's more judged, you know.
Who's judging?
Yeah. We've got a few pros and Maximum Driftcast and I don't know. Maybe
come on,
Alex Moss.
Let Alex
you know,
judge.
Who knows?
I'm sure he'll be totally unbiased.
I will be.
You'll just make sure they lose.
No? Is that a question?
We're releasing this as a Slip Angle and also Chris's podcast. Chris, what do you want to ask as the final question?
Are you guys having fun yet?
Yeah.
Are you guys having fun?
No, we're definitely having fun. Yeah.
That's all that matters.
And if I could tell anyone that's listening to the Slip Angle podcast or the Drivers at Large podcast, this is also being put on my YouTube channel. If you guys have not been to a Grid Life event and met the Grid Life fam, you really should. Because you guys are literally a bunch of fun havers. It's always a good time even for people like myself who just literally sit in pit lane all day and just grab cars.
You guys got a seat in the house, man.
Working a corner as the corner, it gets really intense. But this is for the Grid Life staff, or for the Grid Life stuff that I've done. I'm probably the best seat in the house. Just talking to all you guys, going on track, especially the GLTC guys. I have to say, this has probably been the last best 2 years of my life going out to these events.
Yeah,
I don't even really drive a car, but watching everyone really battle it out, especially. Justin Kelly and Tiffany Kelly, his last GLTC race here at Midwest. It was literally a moment where me and Carson, our pit lane manager, supervisor in pit lane today, were literally screaming on the sidelines, just cheering.
That was so cool.
The last race? Wow. Oh, man, that last race was... I screwed up that last race, the start of it.
It was a pretty gnarly race, though. And everybody was pretty overall super clean, too. It was a very, very well-driven race. So
it's fun. It's really cool.
We didn't have a lot of great pavement this weekend. I mean, we had a lot of wet.
Yeah, that's fine. But, I mean, that's honestly one of the cool things with GLTC, with racing, right? When you're actually racing versus time attack. Time attack, it's always got to be about the right conditions and everything.
It's gotta be perfect.
Racing is just like, whatever. It doesn't matter. Everyone's on the same conditions.
Right?
Yeah.
Who gets there? Everybody's in the same track.
Did you make any calls for racing setup that you wish you could have changed?
Yeah. So I sent, I split this weekend with Ron, and I sent him out the first race on dry tires, which ended up starting to rain, which this track is really bad.
How did he do, by the way?
The first race, I can't remember. I think he qualified like 25th or something like that. And I think he held that position for the most part. I mean, back and forth a little bit, but I think he finished around mid-pack.
Well, what did he think about the whole
wheel? He had a lot of fun. It was intense. But it probably, I regret not throwing him out on rain tires. But then his, he raced the first race today and that one was dry and that one he had a lot more fun. I think he's looking for a GLTC car for
next
year.
He also did top 10 shootout too, right?
He did. Yeah. Yep, and he qualified 7th, I think, there. And I think he ended up – he traded a few positions back and forth throughout the race, and I think he ended up finishing about P7. So,
yeah, I didn't hear anything bad from Scott about him. So.
Scott said he's cleared. He's ready for next year.
He passed, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a GLTC license there for Ryan Solomon. So.
Time attack retirement home.
I foresee a few more GLTC cars coming from ASM next year.
Cool.
Are you going to battle the winning formula and just how many cars you can prep for GLTC?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. What do they got, like 3? 4? 5? Okay, maybe we got some work to do. 7 cars? Jesus.
What is it?
It's Aaron, Emil, Perez, Scott Bowling.
Yep. Jeez, okay.
The new one, Puck.
Yeah, Brandon Puck.
Oh, dang. All right. We'll give him a run
Rob
next
Manicherry.
Year.
Rob Manicherry. Jake Price did a bunch of stuff. I think consulting more with them. Yeah. It's either 6 or 7 right now.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Well,
it's a freaking lot of GLT. Like, I think they got, I think I'm maybe I'm responsible for that company existing now. I don't even know.
Just add it to your list.
Yeah.
Alongside Kamiata.
Yeah. Very. Yeah. Sort of responsible for helping Kamiata be a company too. So, all right. Well, we're into this thing for 40 minutes. We did a show.
That's like a real show.
Yeah. I want to talk to Scott and Becky about giving away their cool trophy. And we'll do a quick show with them.
So, all right. Thanks, buddies.
From Grid Life Midwest on Saturday night. Check out, what's your website, Andy?
ShopASMotorsports.com.
Andy's too busy. Shop he doesn't care about
ASMotorsports.com.
Yeah. We appreciate you guys coming out. Thank you so much for the support, too. So.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes and come and find us in the pits at Gridlife to say hello.